Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Hope Through Housing Foundation is a nonprofit organization that helps children, young adults, low-income, and underprivileged families get out of poverty. And joining me now is Gregory Bradbart. He is the president of the Hope Through Housing Foundation in Rancho Cucamonga and also senior vice president of National CORE. So thank you very much for joining me today, Gregory. First of all, tell us about the National CORE. What is that, and how does it relate to the Hope Through Housing Foundation?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on today. National CORE, or otherwise known as National Community Renaissance, is an organization based here in the Inland Empire that builds and operates affordable housing for low-income families and seniors. And in total, National CORE has about 85 apartment communities throughout all of Southern California, Florida, and Texas. But the mission really goes a lot deeper than just housing. It's really about life transformation, and that's where the Hope Through Housing Foundation comes in, is that within each of the apartment complexes that National CORE operates, the Hope Through Housing Foundation's role is to come in and provide a whole array of different services, activities, resources for the residents to help elevate their health, their well-being, and their self-sufficiency long-term. And I can tell you a little bit more about what those programs look like.
Okay, we'll get into that here in a little bit. But first of all, I want to know a little bit more detail about the organization. I know you're in Rancho Cucamonga, but how long have you been around and how did it all get started?
Yeah, great question. So about 25 years ago, we have two founders, Andy Wright and Jeff Burham, who had this vision of really expanding and providing affordable housing for families who need it. So each of them had their own stories, but knew the needs of families, particularly those low income who might not have great job skills or education, haven't had a lot of opportunities, who really struggle just to put a roof over their children's heads and to take care of them in a safe environment. And so they launched what was originally called SoCal Housing, which later became National CORE, and it slowly grew. You know, it started with one apartment complex where they went and purchased that complex in Rialto, actually. It's called Renaissance Village. And that complex, they renovated it and slowly started to put some services in place as well and realized, hey, look, these kids need help. And so I actually had some volunteers who came in to help the kids with homework and that kind of thing and began to build this model for supportive housing, but long-term supportive housing. So all of our residents do pay rent, but it's below market rent, so it's much less than they would pay out in the community. Plus, they have these additional supportive services to help them to be stable in the housing, but also to help them reach new goals and heights for themselves and their kids.
Okay, like you mentioned earlier, you provide special services to these residents. Go into a little bit more detail. Tell us specifically what types of services you do provide.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, so the housing itself provides this, you know, this incredible stable platform, you know, for our residents. But we realize that the services and support we bring is really what can help people to reach new levels in their own lives. And so that looks like, you know, a couple things. And I'll tell you, there's kind of three pillars, if you will, that we focus on. The first one is focused on our youth. You know, our stated mission is to break the generational cycle of poverty. And we know there's no better way to do that than focusing on our kids today to make sure that they have the tools, the guidance, the resources they need to stay in school, to graduate, to go on and get the college or career skills that they need. So ultimately, they'll earn a living wage and they'll be able to support their family and not look back and need our help in the next generation. And that's really our goal long term. And so the way we do that is We have on-site youth programs. Sometimes those are preschools. We have about 30 after-school programs that we provide on our sites where kids get homework help each afternoon, and they get a nutritious snack and exercise and other enrichment activities. And then we're also launching some teen clubs as well to really support our teens to make sure that they're on track, they stay in school, and like I said, that they, you know, they're successful long-term. That's the first pillar. The second one is focused on our families and our adults. It's very focused on economic mobility or basically financial literacy. Our goal with them is twofold. One, that they would be working and that they're climbing the economic ladder. The other side of it is money management skills. We know it's not just about earning a paycheck. It's so important how we manage that paycheck. So we help them with budgeting, credit, debt, and really help them to learn how to manage their money wisely. And then the last area is focused on our seniors. About 30% of our residents are seniors. And most of these seniors are living on Social Security on a fixed income. And even with a below market, you know, low rent, they still struggle to make ends meet. So a lot of what we do is provide basic needs support for them. That's food and other things. A lot of social activities as we work to battle isolation, depression, and dementia for our residents. Our goal is to get them out of their apartments, interacting together to help them stay healthy both physically and mentally. And so that's kind of under normal circumstances, non-COVID circumstances, that's what our programs traditionally look like.
Okay, and with COVID-19, of course, it's causing problems for virtually everyone. What type of needs are you seeing right now among your residents during this trying time?
Yeah, you know, it absolutely has been a trying time. You know, a couple different things. First of all, for our seniors, those, of course, are the first people who, you know, the guidance started to come out and said, hey, look, you need to stay home. You're at the highest risk. Right away, our seniors were scared. They couldn't necessarily get out to get the food that they needed. They're lonely as well. You can imagine now 3 months in, some of our seniors, and they don't have a lot of family or any family to come visit them. They've literally been locked in their apartment for the last 3 months. So you can imagine with that comes a lot of isolation. We're seeing, you know, loneliness, mental health type needs there as well. And so a lot of great needs among the seniors. Secondly, among our families, what we're seeing now is really many of them losing jobs. And so, as you can imagine, most of our residents working lower wages, most of them work in jobs where they can't work from home. They're doing physical labor. They're working in those restaurants and the entertainment industry and other places that have been shut down. And so many of them have lost hours. Some of them have lost their jobs through this time as well. Something else that's really, you know, intriguing, I think a lot of us haven't thought about a lot, is that, you know, a lot of these kids, too, relied on the school meal programs. And during this time, those kids have now been home. So one, they haven't had as much access to that food. Secondly, that home grocery bill is going up substantially. I can say even with my own kids. I mean, they're at home always looking for snacks. They're, you know, eating a whole lot more, you know, or we're having to feed them a whole lot more during this time. Kids are at home. They're bored. They want to eat. So that's increasing food costs for our families as well. And for the youth as well, you know, they've been home quite a bit now. You know, they're getting bored. And, you know, our concern for those kids, too, is, you know, are they able to fully take advantage of school if it is virtual? Do they have the technology that they need? Do they have broadband access? Do they have the right equipment? Are there, you know, parents, do the parents understand how they need to support and keep their kids accountable to make sure they're still able to fully take advantage of school during this time when they're not in the classroom?
And I imagine that has also put a strain on your organization as well. So how has Hope Through Housing, how have you been able to respond during the pandemic? Have you had to change the way that you do things?
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, right away, and I have to say, I'm really proud of the Hope Through Housing team and the way that everyone has stepped up. And we pivoted all of our efforts right away. It was interesting. A month or two in, somebody sent me an email from the outside, a partner, and said, so are you guys still closed? And I was like, we have not closed at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, we've actually ramped it up. And when others stepped back, we stepped forward and stepped up. You know, really from day one, we saw the needs, like I mentioned, of our seniors. And so we shifted our efforts and said, hey, look, we're not doing the on-site exercise programs or bringing people together. Everyone needs to stay home and be safe. We're going to bring resources to you door to door. And we started by creating a customized community resource guide that we distributed to every single door, every single household, so that they had some websites and contact information, contact numbers to be able to reach out if they had needs. And really what we jumped into is a huge period of food distribution. That became the number one need that we saw, was particularly our seniors, but our families too. They couldn't get to the grocery store. They might not have had the resources, but didn't feel like they could get out to get those groceries. And so we were able to partner with a number of different food banks, food pantries, and get fresh fruits and veggies, canned goods, all kinds of different food to our residents on a weekly basis during this time. So food has been huge. We've also been able to focus on kind of basic supplies. So if you think about the other needs, would be household items, cleaning items, personal care items. And we've had churches, we've had community organizations. Amazon made a huge donation to us so we could bring out care bags and other basic supplies to our residents during this time. And something else we've been doing is wellness calls. So we have a team of volunteers and staff who are making calls out to our seniors and our more vulnerable residents during this time just to check in on them and just to say, hey, how are you doing? Do you have any needs? And part of what we hear is they're just happy to have a warm voice on the other end of the line checking in, seeing how they're doing. But they also, in that conversation, have been identifying other needs that they have that then we can respond to and make sure that our residents are doing okay.
Okay, very good. Do you have any ideas? I know this is probably a question you may not be able to answer, but do you have any idea of how many people that you are currently helping or how many people that you've helped over the years? I imagine it's thousands.
Yes, absolutely. Great question. I'll tell you, so at any given time, we have about 25,000 residents across our entire portfolio, and so we offer these services to all of them. Just in the Inland Empire between San Bernardino and Riverside County, we have about 10,000 residents that we offer support to, and I'm proud to tell you we have been tracking, just the amount of food distribution and wellness calls we've made just over the last 3 months. We've actually distributed over 51,000 meals and grocery bags, and we made over 10,000 wellness calls during that time. And so it's a large number. I'll tell you, it's a bit overwhelming, but we've been just really grateful that we've been able to continue to be there for our residents during this time.
And what areas do you actually encompass? What areas do you serve?
Yeah, so we serve within Southern California. We have about 12 properties out in LA. We have 32 properties between San Bernardino and Riverside County, and then a handful in Orange County and about 20 down in San Diego. Here in San Bernardino, Riverside County area, we are everywhere from Montclair to Rancho Cucamonga up to the high desert in Victorville, down to Riverside, San Bernardino area, and then all the way out to the Coachella Valley as well. We have five properties out there, including Yucca Valley as well. So really throughout the entire two-county area.
Okay, now do you have any success stories that you can share with us?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. One that comes to mind right away was actually was in Yucca Valley. It's funny I just mentioned that. And we were distributing, in partnership with SoCalGas, some meals to our residents out there. And it was a bag with a sandwich and a bowl of soup in it. And we were going door to door, and this was a senior property. And I can tell you, all the seniors were very appreciative. They say, thank you so much. And there was one particular woman. We came to the door. We gave her her bag. And she said, thank you so much. She said, do you have a minute? And we said, of course. And she said, she goes, I'm almost out. And we didn't know what she was talking about. She said, I'm almost out of food. She said, do you have a minute to come in and I'll show you my refrigerator and my pantry? And we said, no, it's okay. We don't need to see it. And she went on and she said, she goes, I have some water. I have a couple cans of soda and I have a half of a can of Pringles left. And that's all I have. And I'll tell you, in that moment, it became very real to me that this food that we were bringing out to these residents, it wasn't just another nice hot meal. It was literally the sustenance she needed at that time. And she opened the bag at that point. She looked in it, and she smiled, and she said, but this is great, because she said, I'll eat the soup today, and I'll eat the sandwich tomorrow. This will get me through the next 2 days. I'll tell you, it broke my heart in that moment hearing her say that. But at the same time, the good news is she communicated that because we were at the door, we didn't leave her just with soup and sandwich. We made sure she had a bag of groceries by the end of the day and making sure that she's continued to be cared for beyond that. But I'll tell you, it's those little stories, and there are so many others where residents, have just been grateful and thankful when we show up at their door. And in many ways, I think, we and our volunteers and the community coming together have really been kind of earth angels for our residents during this time, just in their time of need, showing up and continuing to be there for them. So it's been very rewarding.
Yeah, that is a great story. And how can listeners that are interested, how can they be a part of your work? How can they help out?
Great. Yeah, there's a couple different ways that, you know, listeners could be part of it. First of all, you know, is the in-kind supplies, you know, helping us, you know, provide more of the food and the basic goods. You know, all this is on our website, but we've been collecting care bags, and care bags are great for our residents. Also, right now, we're gearing up for back-to-school events, and so getting brand new school supplies out to our kids, regardless of whether they're going back to the classroom or if they're working at home, these kids need school supplies. School supplies are expensive, and we need the community to help us donate those so we can put them in the hands of these kids. So we're doing both the care bag and the back-to-school supply drives right now. Would love help with that. We also have some volunteer opportunities. I mentioned the wellness calls that we're making those phone calls out to our residents. We also have an opportunity with some training and a quick background check. Volunteers can help us with that to make some of those phone calls out to our residents, particularly our seniors. And the last piece is, you know, we launched a couple months ago a COVID relief fund. And that's really the hard dollars that would allow us to do the work we're doing. Because, you know, I say we're in the people business. You know, it's people serving people. And the staff that we employ or who are on the front lines through this entire time, you know, that requires funding in order for us to be able to do that and all the supplies that we're providing. So if anyone wants to donate financially, they can do that as well. And all that can be found on our website, which is www.hthf.org, as in hopethroughhousingfoundation.org. So www.hthf.org.
And is there a phone number that they can contact you directly?
Yes. So that would be 909-204-2444. So again, 909-204-2444.
Okay, and as we start to wrap things up, if there's one important point you could make about the good work and the good services that you're providing, what would that be?
You know, I think it's just about showing up and being there for our neighbors. And I think each of us as individuals have that opportunity wherever we live just to be paying attention, to check in on our neighbors, see how they're doing. I mean, for us as an organization, you know, that's no different. And as a community, this is a time of coming together. And I think it's been so encouraging just seeing so many other partners, individuals, families, churches, companies who have stepped up to help us make this work possible. So I think it's just about being in it together.
Okay, Gregory Bradbard, president of the Hope Through Housing Foundation in Rancho Cucamonga and senior vice president of National CORE. And we've been talking about their foundation that helps young adults and low-income and underprivileged families get out of poverty. So thanks once again, Gregory, for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. You take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.